Oh, it's red. That means low battery. That's all right. If it cut off halfway through, it'd be fine. You guys won't even notice how you're just like, oh, let's pretend you're still listening. Yeah. Hey, so I've been on holiday this week. My amazing son, Josh, spent a week. I will like to get that back if I can.
Yep, we will. We'll give you that.
Choice. Awesome. That's nice and loud. Problem with me, I hold this thing too close. So 10 years of singing means I go like this. I can't do this very well. Alrighty. My amazing son Josh got to go down to Christchurch with his nonna and papa. But being his first trip away, he kind of started freaking out and go, oh, I can't do it. It's going to be too much. So I said, okay, man, I'll come down and meet you on the Wednesday, and I'll do 3 days with you to get you through. It was good, man, but Christchurch was awesome, mate, because it snowed down there. Snowing's mint, hey, especially for us Aucklanders. I can tell we're Aucklanders. We're good? Ooh, look at that transition. You know, like, we're down there with the cousins, and, like, the rest of the kids are there, and others, you know? They kind of got onto snow a little bit, but, man, we were loving it, man. We were going on adventures, just trekking out, like, all you have to do is, like, drive about 20, 30 minutes out of town. Woo, now it's going to get funky. That's all right. And you'd find this amazing snow. And so we'd just park up, man, and play, like, for an hour. It was amazing. Yeah, people kind of, like, laugh at us and smile at us as we go past. And at one stage, I think we were just next to the toilets or something. There was this amazing pile of snow. But we didn't mind. It was awesome, man. Snow is snow. And, you know, it's typical, eh? That place is beautiful, man. Like, even at the airport, they've got these stunning mountains. Christchurch is surrounded by such beauty, eh? But, you know, I suppose if you live amongst it, you don't really notice it so much. But, man, it was cool to be down there. Alrighty. Anyway, you guys ready to have some fun this morning? Yeah. It's going to be good. So we're going to start off with a bit of a game. In our space, with the kids, we like to mix things up a lot. And so we're going to play a little game called Would You Rather. I'm going to see if my clicker works. Ooh. If you guys are familiar with this, some of you might have seen it before. And it's a game, it's really just kind of a thing to generate discussion. So the idea of this is you talk with the people next to you. If that scares you, you can talk to yourself, but it probably won't be as interesting. Let's click in. So here we go. Would you rather? First challenge today, guys. Here we go. Oh, no, not that one. That one. Person next to you, guys. Would you rather own a zoo or own a sports team? Have a chat. I love sports, eh? But to be honest, I'd probably put myself at a... I don't know, I think I'd probably own a zoo. Who's for zoos? Who's sports teams? Oh, a few of us there. Awesome. Alrighty. Here we go, alrighty. Let's see if this works. Boom. Ooh. Number two. Would you rather live the first part of your life over again or the second part? Now, for those of you who are like seniors and stuff, I've kind of adjusted this a little bit for you. I'm not assuming anything, of course, not making any assumptions. The first 25 years of your life or the next 25 years of your life? Talk to the person next to you. What would you rather have if you could do it again? Hey? Oh, you'll see it later. I'm kind of trying. I've got an angle with this. I'm not trying to offend. First part. Part one. Oh, a few of us here. Woo! Part two. Alrighty. That's good, eh? Happy to see myself. That's interesting. Right, here we go. Ooh, here we go. Now, would you rather have the superpowers of Spider-Man? Now, we all know who Spider-Man is. Or Professor X? Now, I'm not being ageist here, because Professor X has been around since the 1960s, apparently. Anyone actually get into, like, X-Men back then? Some of you guys? Or was that like, you know, playing the drums for Christian circles? No, we do not. That is of the devil. I don't know. Anyway, so Professor X, if you don't know this man, he's super cool. He's actually a goodie. He's part of the X-Men, and he has the power to read minds and also can, like, do telepathy and stuff, which is pretty cool as well. Anyway, have a discussion, guys. Spider-Man, reading minds. Would you rather? Have a talk. Here we go. Alrighty. So we're going out there. Who wants Spider-Man skills, man? Alrighty. Who wants Professor X? Woo! Interesting. Even split. You know, to be honest, I'd definitely go on Spider-Man. Not for the fact, I mean, he's got some pretty sweet skills, Professor X. But to be honest, if I had the ability to read other people's minds, I don't think my life would be very happy.
know, if people could see what was going on in my head. Yeah. And that kind of leads me on to what we're talking about today. And it is a problem. So I'm going to give you, just talk about really something that God's been working in my heart with of late, and a problem I've been facing. And yeah, and I got some new perspective shed on that, and it's kind of helped me on my journey. So yeah, I'm just going to tell you where I'm at, a little bit of my journey. Yeah, cool. So anyway, my problem, the problem I'm talking about today, is to do with neighbors. All right. So, see, we have some neighbors here. Some of you guys might not see too many of them, but we've had some neighbors recently who have been visiting our place, this church place here, on a somewhat regular basis. Not so much now, but definitely over the last 3 or 4 months. Woo! And these neighbors, these people, they come and they've decided for whatever reason to come and camp down in our space at night. And, you know, if they did that, if they just came and just slept, you know, if they wanted to sleep rough here, man, that's all cool. I can handle that, man. That's all good. I'm not going to judge you on that front. But these guys just don't sleep here. They vomit here, like in the front of the spaces, and often they're really drugged up, and you know, it's messy stuff. And it was real funny, because I heard on the radio, this has been, you know, people sleeping rough, and they were this is honesty here. Apparently, it's always good to start with honesty, and I heard people on the radio, and they're saying, oh, these businesses in town are putting these sprinklers under their doorways, man, because they don't want these people to sleep rough, and man, how dare they do that, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, I'll get that, but how about if you got up in the morning, you got out of your door, and straight in front of your door, you had vomit, or straight in front of your door, you had a person who was so drugged up, man, you don't know what he's going to do, he ain't going to move, he ain't got the capacity to move, and he's actually quite intimidating. You know, living in that kind of, there's a bit of tension there. Would you agree? Yeah, it was funny, eh? It was like, oh, well, you haven't experienced it out. That's what I was thinking in my head. And so this led to me, one Saturday morning particularly, I rocked in. I don't know what I was doing, turning up here early for something. And I was met at our front space in there with about, there were about 8 guys in there, eh? Women and chicks, man. And yeah, they were camped everywhere, man. They were in front of the doors. They were like sleeping literally in front of the doors. They were pretty drugged up. It was messy. And, you know, we'd already kind of, before this point, I had this conversation with these guys saying, yeah, no, we're not actually comfortable with you being here. And it was awkward, man. I didn't want that. I wanted to be at church for 5 minutes. I was going to duck in, duck out. And I was confronted with this mess. I was like, oh, I'm not happy. And I had to like kind of, I didn't want to talk to them because I was in a bad space, and I had to like, hi, can you kind of move out of the way, please? I'm going to get in the door now, and I just kind of got in the door, locked the door again. I mean, that's kind of awkward as well, you know. And then I kind of came in here, and it was at that point, you know, I seen it, God, man, I got a problem here, you know, because you want me to love neighbor, man, but I'm not loving these guys right now, you know, that. If these guys could read my mind as I was walking into that door, woo, ain't much grace going on there, man. And I was really confronted with that, eh? I'm like, geez, man, we're supposed to be like the church and supposed to love these guys, but I am struggling. I'm in real conflict here with these guys. You know, and this kind of made me search a little deeper. You know, I think I'm a pretty kind of easy, chill out kind of going guy. I get along with most people. I love most people, and that's cool. But to be honest, my life's pretty sweet. Right now, I got I got a pretty cool crew here that we work with. Carol's a bit dodgy, but the rest of them are pretty nice. She gives them a bit of grief. Nah, she's lovely. You know, at school's cool, man. It's good. I got good things. But, man, in the past, I've worked with some not-so-cool bosses in the school environment. And I can tell you, this is real honesty, man. During those times, I didn't want to talk to people about God at that time, because, man, the way I spoke about my boss, woo, man, I was angry, because this guy didn't treat people very well and everything else, but I was fuming, man. I was an angry man. Talk about him, man, I could go 20 minutes hard at the end of school about how much of an egg he was. I've got to monitor my language here, because it's quite, you know, I get a bit expressive sometimes, it's not very good. Yeah, good word. Yeah, and because I was just struggling with this, in the past I've struggled with people, man, and it hasn't been good. You know, I verbally process this stuff, out to my colleagues, out to everyone. And at that same time, I knew again, I don't want to, yeah, I don't know if they really think I'm a Christian that much if I'm kind of talking so badly about someone. Yeah, this guy was an egg, but man, I was giving this guy a pretty serious rundown. So, yeah, neighbor, interesting stuff. So I'm processing this. I'm going, man, God, man, I know this isn't right, man. How are you going to help me out here? So let's see where I'm up to here. So I recently heard this new perspective, and it's kind of helped me on my journey of loving neighbor. So I'm going to try to click this. Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. So, guys, I track with the States, a lot of the curriculum, a lot of the thinking I work with, and a lot of the content. I went to America about 3 years ago to hang out with these guys in America. They do awesome stuff. They had this conference, and this conference was for, the key was for our neighbors. See what love can do. What does it mean to be for our neighbors? And you know, on the surface, that's awesome, man. That's great. Now, I'm a person who wants to be for my neighbor, definitely. But as I this kind of idea actually got unpacked to me, man, I was quite confronted by what that actually means. And my understanding of God actually changed a bit as well, which kind of freaked me out a bit. So let's head into this. We have a passage. The passage we're looking at today is, boom, this one here. So it's basically, to give you a little bit of context, you know, the Pharisees, who were the religious rulers of the time when Jesus was around, they were giving him a hard time, man. They're saying, dude, you know, they're going law after law. What about this? What about this? You know, trying to trick Jesus about, and to try to mess up, because they, you know, they did not obviously like Jesus, and they thought he was just messing things up. So they said, man, let's get him. Let's try to outwit him with the laws. And Jesus' response, as we know, was this. What is this? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Boom. Nice and easy, eh? You think? I did. It all kind of went on a bit. So, here we go. See, the first part of this, actually, if we're really honest, is actually not that difficult. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and all mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. It's not that difficult because God is, turns out most of the time, is actually a pretty easy guy to love, right? Yeah, he's pretty good. I mean, yeah, we have our conflict every now and then, and we have our misunderstandings and that, but God is awesome. He loves us. It's amazing. We sing about this morning. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And here's the best bit as well. We've got an out clause with this. Because you see, when we get offside with God, when we, our kind of stuff gets in the way, He also forgives us. That's sweet, eh? It's like, man, God, you're awesome. Nah, not going to have much time for you right now. Oh, God, can you please forgive me? And some of us have this kind of out clause, and we, you know, it almost looks like that. You know, we've got stuff like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Awesome, eh? I mean, that is awesome. And that's fantastic. And that's why this bit, you know, in a really simplistic way, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. And in fact, this kind of shed a little bit of an understanding about what the Old Testament was about. This kind of relationship of you know, being on track with God and you know, God is good, and then kind of messing up and asking God for forgiveness, and then going back to God and saying, man, you're good, you're awesome, man, I've got a new revelation of who you are, that's fantastic, and going back and forth. It's kind of pretty much the story, in fact, of the Old Testament. See, most of the Old Testament talks about not a relationship between individuals and God, but a nation and God. It's about the nation of Israel. In fact, the people who wrote the Old Testament were judges, kings, prophets. It was all about a relationship between God and Israel. And man, you know, when Israel put God first, things went well. It was awesome. God blessed them. But when they forgot about God, man, things went bad, spectacularly bad, if you read the Bible. In fact, and the irony with it, you know, you think, I love the Old Testament because it's a great narrative of human nature. You think we would learn, eh? You know, humanity would kind of, oh, yeah, slowly, yeah, yeah, maybe after doing this like 5 times, it might be a better idea actually to trust God more. But if you know the Old Testament, man, they just get worse. They go bad, worse and worse and worse. They screw things up so bad. They did not get it. You know? It was messy stuff. So where am I up to with this?
And this is the other interesting thing about the Old Testament. It says this, you know, God says, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is Jesus kind of summing up, you know, still trying to sum up the Old Testament. But man, that the definition of neighbor in Old Testament time can somewhat be misconstrued. Now, I don't know how this fully works, but you see, in the Old Testament, when Jesus was talking about treating, or when they were talking about treating neighbor, they were talking about treating their neighbors like the people in Israel, like their fellow tribesmen, right? But dude, if you're not part of Israel at that time, oh man, they didn't kind of consider that so neighborish. In fact, a lot of the kings and the judges, man, if you were to look at their lives and the way they treated their neighbors, like the way they treated people who existed outside of their like immediate family or something, it was bad. I mean, a lot of these guys would end up in prison for murder and many, many other things. I mean, we as a men's group looked at the life of what is his name here, Samson. Oh man! And you guys checked out Samson? He was one of the judges. You know, God uses him to be a voice into Israel and to remind them of God's justice. But man, Samson, his life was messed up. I mean, I only saw the kind of Sunday school version of Samson. Have you ever seen that? What, when you think of Samson, what do you normally think? What's the first picture that comes to mind? Boo, strong, and this kind of embed of him, like, boo, pulling the towels away and stuff like that. But, oh, man. Like, it's bad. It's like kind of like Donald Trump, Russia bad, man. It's just like, it's just so messed up, man. And the more you look into it, the more messed up it is. It just keeps unfolding. It was like, and we as a group of guys, you know, we look at this guy, and this is unbelievable. You know, it was a messed up kind of stuff. It was, yeah. And to me, it was really quite revealing. Actually, you know that, you know, this Old Testament stuff, yes, it was primarily a relationship between God and Israel. And this concept of neighbor got radically changed when Jesus came, or what was taught about it. So here we go. So when Jesus came, he kind of exploded this notion of loving neighbor. So up to that point, you know, you could respect the people next to you, that's cool, but you know, if you were not within our tribe, you know, people kind of got treated quite differently. But Jesus came and said this. First, you know, he starts with, man, loving your neighbor, but then he kicks in with stuff like this. You know, John 13:34, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. Ooh. I mean, this is next level. I mean, you know, we can love each other, you know, kind of bit. And then he says, no. I want you to love one another as I have loved you. And by the way, you just doesn't mean the people in your tribe. It means everyone. Ooh. I mean, this is kind of next level. And it goes on from there. It says, and this is where the thing for me kind of really kind of clicked it. But I was like, oh, okay, but what does it look like to see, you know, yeah, how God sees? How does God feel when we don't love others? How does this God feel? How does our God feel, you know? If he loves everyone, what does God feel like when we don't love others? And I think he gave us a really good clue into this. He gave us family, you know? We are wired to love, and all of us are in family. I know family gets pretty messed up sometimes, but at the heart of it, 99.9% of us, man, we love our family. You know what I mean? And here we go. Let's see. Are you with me still? One guy's sleeping. That's all right. Let's click along. Boom. Oh, no, that way. Hey! Who's this guy? Spittle. He's an Australian. Yeah. Gee, man, you got some work. Australia's not that bad. But this guy, here we go. Australian. See? Spittle. Nation. This guy was a guy, to be honest, most in the nation did not like. Did most of us like Spittle, especially about, you know, probably for the last 4 years? I mean, he's done something recently. Nah, we didn't like Spittle that much, if you followed Team New Zealand, because Spittle represented Oracle. And if you kind of followed the story around Oracle, Oracle didn't treat us very, very fairly. Do you think? as a, you know, as a yachting nation. I mean, if you looked into this, they were punks, man. They did everything. I mean, New Zealanders, we love everything to be fair. These guys did not play fair. They were a team that tried to trip us up in every way possible. They would change rules on us. They would, anything they could do, man, these guys were dirty. And as a nation who loves sports, man, it'd be fair to say we pretty much hated this guy. People did not like Spittle, you know? And now, I didn't like Spittle. I mean, he slightly redeemed himself at the end when, you know, he kind of admitted that we were pretty good. But up to that point, man, you put this guy on, ooh. You know, I didn't feel very good about Spittle. But that's one level, you know? But I'm going to tell you another level. See, that is kind of big picture stuff. But I'm going to talk about someone who insulted my family and how I felt about that. And this is when I was like 12. I remember for about 2 years, man, I got bullied pretty hard out by a guy called Jason. That's his real name, but I won't tell you his last. He's a cop now as well. That's pretty messed up. But anyway, man, this guy, Jason, man, he had it out for me. For some strange reason, I was a small town kid, rocked up to, lived in Temuka, came to Wellington, and I made the mistake. I turned up when I was in the same class as him, and he's like, oh, yeah, what do you do? I said, I love to play the drums. And it turned out that Jason also went to the same church as me, and he played the drums. And so I think it was from that, he just immediately thought that I was a threat, man, and he went out to destroy me, and he did a pretty good job, man. I was this new kid, my life was sweet down there, but he would spread rumors around me, just like bring me down, man, turn heaps of people out. He'd say, oh, your house sucks, you're poor, you're this, you're that. And I really, really struggled with this, man. It was full on, 2 years of this stuff. And yeah, and he even went to my church, man. I couldn't escape this guy. He was in my class and he was in my church. I mean, life sucked. But one day I was, I don't know why I feel emotional about it, but it brought out some really strong feelings. My mother was walking past this guy and he said some real nasty stuff about my mother. Now, it was bad enough to insult me, but to insult my mother, context here, I'm a 12-year-old boy at the time. I didn't even really like my mother that much, to be honest. She's quite annoying most of the time, didn't really understand me, you know? But that was someone I loved, and he insulted her. I kid you not, I wanted to kill him. I was so flippin' angry. And if God must have held me back, man. If I'd have started to kick him with a fight with this kid, I would have beat him, man. I would have beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him until someone dragged me off. I was so furious. I mean, you can make my life hell. That's bad, man. But you make someone I love, you make their life hell. Oh, man, that's next level, you know? And this is where this perspective starts to come in. You see, we head back to with this would you rather question we had. I'm going to see if I can move this forward. This would you rather question of would you rather live your life, you know, the first 25 or the last 25? And someone asked me that recently, and I reflected on that. And I said, no, I would want to live the second 25 years, or the second half of my life. And the defining factor there really was kind of kids. But you got to understand, see, before kids came along in my life was easier, I was richer, and most of the time I had fun. After kids, my life is like off the shizang, so crazy, difficult, and messy. I am poorer. And yeah, it's full on. It's nuts. But I have my kids. And I can't, my life without my kids is like, man, it defines me. That is, I'm everything, man. Life without my kids is inconceivable. No matter what they bring into my life, they're people I love. And living without them, or without them in my life, they are the things. You know, they bring me so much joy into my life. So, and here's this kind of thing. So hope you roll with me here. This is a kind of a personal. So these are my kids, man. I love these kids, man. So, but if you were to be a person who kind of bullied my kids, man, if you went after my kids for whatever reason, I'm going to have some serious, serious issue with that, eh? If you're a person who went after my family for whatever reason and you did not try to resolve that tension, you just like straight out stink. You didn't treat them fairly. You were, you know, I'm going to have serious issue, to be honest. In reality, I would, you know. Would I really want to be friends with you? Nah. Would I want you in my house? Nah, man. Even if you gave me money, man, I want to be generous to you. Nah, man, I don't want your money. You don't love my family, man. Anything to do with you, is I'm struggling with that, man. I've got some serious issues with that. And this is where the kind of kicker came in for me. You see, God asks us to love everybody, you know. He goes on, 1 John, it says this. 1 John 4:20. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, who he has seen, cannot love God, who he has seen. Ooh. You know, for me, I'm just like, oh man, is this how God feels about people who treat his children badly? You know, is this some of the stuff that's going on? You know, and hate, you know, when we start to look into that word, hate, I mean, the scholars and stuff look into that and they look at the language stuff. Hate, you know, we think hate, well, I don't hate my brother. But when they unpack hate, the word hate, in this context, hate can be anything. Hate is to dismiss anything we do to devalue the significance of somebody else. That's what hate is. Here's the thing, and I'm going to read this is what this girl is saying, you know, because everybody you eyeball is someone for whom Jesus has died. Oh, I always get emotional because it's God talking to me. Ah, anyway, ready. Someone for whom Jesus, not only someone whom Jesus has died for, someone for whom Jesus loves more than even I love my own family. Ooh. Our love and devotion for God is no longer just justified by our relationship with Him alone, but instead is actually demonstrated and authenticated by the way we treat the people around us. Oh. And so, for me, you know, God it's been really confronting me with this and giving me a real, I think, glimpse into my heart. I mean, yeah, God loves me, absolutely, but man, when I don't treat others the way He wants me to treat them, God's got some serious, serious issues with that, man. And so back to my problem. How do I deal with these guys out here? And you think, so God, in that concept, I think really revealed to me, you know, it's like, Dave, this is how I want you to see these people. And I thought, well, how do I frame this up? How do I give this as a kind of, you know, go-to? And I kind of worded it like this. God was kind of challenging me to see the person who He made, who He created, before I see the problem. God wanted to see, yeah, wanted me to see that. And when we go back to, what am I going to do here? So, yeah, so the challenge I have for you guys this morning, I don't know if this is relevant to you, I don't know if this, you know, is pinging something that's going on in your life at the moment. But the challenge I want to give you guys this morning is this, you know. Who is someone in your life that you need to see differently? Who is someone in your neighborhood, a neighbor of you? I mean, a neighbor can be anyone in your life, in your space. Who do you think God's saying, man, I want you to see that person differently, man? Or even bigger, you know. Who is someone in your life who you have dishonored, who you have, you know, done not good stuff to, and that you need to try to make it amends with that relationship? Who is someone you need to at least try to go, hey man, you've done bad. I've done bad. I need to at least try to say I'm sorry for this to that person, you know? Is there someone in your life in that context? And I'm always a bit of a response guy. I love to mix things up a little bit. So, boom, 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 boom. Lovely picture of houses, eh? So, very shortly we're going to have a bit of just a time for you guys to reflect on that, for us to reflect on that. And over in the corner there, I've got a few of these things actually printed out. And this picture for me kind of represents, you know, the people in my life. Well, it could represent the people in your life. And if God is speaking to you this morning, if this has resonated with you, One thing you could do, man, you might want to go over there, grab one of those pieces of paper and grab a little colouring in pencil and colour in one of those buildings, one of those houses. And that might could represent for you, you know, that person in your life that God wants you to see differently. And you might want to take that, you know, and maybe pin that up somewhere around the house just as a reminder for what God wants to do, what God may want to be doing with you. Alrighty. So last slide. Here we go. Oh, no. No, there's supposed to be one after that. Let's see. No, that way. That way. That way. Is that the last slide? Oh, it is. So I go back. Cool. Sweet. So I think for me, when I look at this verse now, and it's a great verse, but God's kind of reshaped my understanding for this. Yeah, there's the first bit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. But the second, for me now, the way I kind of interpret it is this, man. David, I get emotional with this. I want you to see people the way I see people. David, I want you to see people the way I see people. My love for them. And that, for me, kind of, yeah, has been really big, really profound. Another big reminder. And it's cool. So these guys played a song. We've done a song for 2 weeks in a row. It's called The Song Wonder. And what I love about the song that these guys opened with this morning, it talks about, I see the world the way, you know, you see the world. And often in songs, they're kind of, you know, it's written like, this is what I'm seeing right now. You know, I see the world the way you see the world, God. But when I often sing these songs, I kind of sing them more as a prayer. You know, I'm like, man, God, continue to help me to see this world, my neighbors, the way you see this world. And man, when we do, when God continues to, you know, reveal himself to us and to reveal what it means to love others, man, the world does start to become so much more colorful. It comes to life. It's amazing, you know. God continues to expand our world, expand our capacity to love others, but also just to see the wonder that it's around, the wonder of what God has created. Yeah. So shortly, we're going to do, we're going to chuck on a video that actually has that song playing, and it's got the words kind of written on the bottom, and it goes for about 5 minutes. and that's going to create a little bit of space for you guys, if you want to, hey, to go cut on one of those things. Maybe God's talking to you. Also, maybe it's time just to reflect on those words, but I just encourage you anyway, hey, just to take some time and to reflect on these things. Now, I'm no theologian. So, I don't know, Linda might have been freaking out with half the stuff I was saying. Oh my God, what is he saying? And that's where grace comes in, and the Holy Spirit, who, you know, really just wants to, you know, bring out the things that God, that's going to be my prayer. God, just please, for us this morning, bring out the things that David, you know, that David said that needs to be heard, and kind of wipe the other ones away. Yeah. Thank you. See, now Lyndon doesn't have to get up and patch this up, which is awesome. Yeah. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to chuck that song on, probably dim some lights as well, eh? It'll make it a little bit easier, which would be cool. And then we're going to end with that. So let's pray, eh? Yeah. Alrighty. So God, thank you that you love us. You love us unconditionally. Your grace for us is just beyond comprehension. But God, in our relationship with you, please help us understand that it is not just about me and you. God, it is about the others that you have placed in and around us, the others that you love so much. God, help us to love, to see as you see people, God. We are frail, we are broken, you know, we're still got, when injustice happens, when things that go wrong happen, man, we can get angry, we can get upset, and people do some terrible things, but God, please, even in and amongst that, help us see the person you created. Help us not see the world for the problems, or just the problems. Father, help us see the people amongst those problems. Help us see the people you love. And if we live this way, God, if we live this way through loving others, despite the complexities they have in their lives, you will start to reveal to us what this whole thing's about, what your kingdom is about. Help us on this journey, we pray. Amen. Cool.